Hello, this is Matthew Irwin with the News Gazette, dated Friday, August 14th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Coronavirus Response, Health District Board to Discuss Mask Ordinance, by Deborah Pressey, Champaign. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Board of Health will hold a special meeting today to consider a proposed ordinance to enforce the mandatory use of face coverings and size limits on gatherings. The ordinance would reinforce locally the new rules proposed August 7th by Governor J.B. Pritzker and upheld Tuesday by the General Assembly's Bipartisan Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. The new local ordinance, which would take effect August 28th, will basically follow what's been approved at the state level on the required use of masks and size limits on gatherings and will give the health district the enforcement tools it's been wanting since March, according to Administrator Julie Pride. It provides for a description of face coverings, exceptions to wearing them, violations, and enforcement. It applies to all people, businesses, workplaces, and other organizations within the health district's boundaries, which are the same as those of Cunningham Township and City of Champaign Township. Under the new state rules, businesses are being held responsible for requiring mask wearing and social distancing on their properties and can be subject to warnings and fines up to $2,500 for failure to comply. Most businesses in the community are already doing a good job enforcing mask wearing and social distancing, Pride said. But the ones that don't are chronic, and they're not going to start doing it until they're forced to do so, she said. Businesses that haven't already done so should start by posting signs at entrances, clearly stating that anyone entering the premises must be wearing a mask. What we need to get out there is you're not welcome anywhere if you're not wearing a mask, Pride said. And she said if a business has a sign up about mask requirements and asks a patron to leave for failing to comply, and that person refuses, that's trespassing. Businesses are already enforcing requirements to wear shirts and shoes to enter, and laws forbidding shoplifting, and those running into problems with mask scoff laws may need a security guard to help enforce mask wearing, Pride said. I don't think any people working in stores should take any guff about this, she said. Our next article is also from the front page of the News Gazette. It's titled, Wood and Hog Barbecue Visit, Pritzker Touts Grant Program in Urbana, by Ben Zigderman, Urbana. After Governor J.B. Pritzker wrapped up speaking Thursday at Wood and Hog Barbecue in Urbana, local activist Haki Shabazz had one more question. The member of the Champaign County Anti-Racist Coalition called for public housing for all and expressed concern about homeless shelters not having masks. We need to ensure that homeless people have a place to stay and that they are safe as well, Shabazz said. Pritzker said he agreed and asked his staff to follow up. We want to make sure they have the masks that they need, he said. We want everyone to stay healthy and safe. He also used the opportunity to tout a program launched Monday that would provide $300 million for rent and mortgage relief. We just launched the largest rental assistance program in the country, Pritzker said. We want everybody to have a place to live. And Pritzker encouraged people to reach out particularly to Republican congressmen from Illinois, as a coronavirus relief bill is negotiated. We need the funding that they should be sending here to support these kinds of programs, Pritzker said. He and Shabazz then elbow-bumped as Pritzker departed. The governor was in town to announce the first recipients of the state's business interruption grant program, including Wood and Hog, which received $10,000. After we digest all of this, we will pay payroll. We'll try to rebrand and advertise, restaurant co-owner Michael McDonald said. We hope that the grant that we received from the government today will just give us an opportunity to remain relevant. Wood and Hog opened in 2016 at 904 North 4th Street, Champaign, took over the Little Porgies location at 101 West University Avenue, Urbana, last year, and opened a new location at 500 North Walnut Street, Champaign, earlier this year. About $46 million of the business interruption grant funds that has been awarded to 2,655 businesses throughout the state, including 50 in Champaign County, totaling $910,000, and more rounds of funding are planned. Other local recipients include Mary Ann's Diner, Joe's Brewery, Caribbean Grill, Broadway Food Hall, Sushi Kami, and Basil Thai. These funds are going to be crucial in helping businesses offset some of the negative impacts of the pandemic, especially in the industries that have been heavily restricted or completely shut down, said Carly McCrory McKay, Executive Director of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation. The grants went to businesses that had less than $3 million in revenue and were shut down in the spring by the pandemic and prioritized businesses that didn't receive federal payment protection program loans. COVID has highlighted our resolve, our resiliency, and our ability to tackle the unknown, McDonald said. We didn't apply for the PPP loan, not because we weren't eligible, but because we didn't have a relationship with banks. Businesses were also prioritized if they were in COVID-impacted areas and experienced property damage amidst the looting and civil unrest in June, Pritzker said. Our next story is on page A2. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Bob Asmussen. In the spring, Champaign's Bruce Swartz fought COVID-19. It wasn't easy. He experienced high fever, chills, headaches, body aches, loss of appetite, etc. It's awful, Swartz said. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. Ultimately, the 70-year-old beat the disease. Now he is helping others to do the same. Swartz is donating his plasma, which is full of COVID-19 antibodies, to the local blood bank. He has made 2 donations with more to follow. The procedure takes about an hour, time good guy Swartz is happily willing to take. His once-a-week donation can help 3 others who have COVID-19. Swartz is also a regular blood donor. The setup for the plasma donation is similar to giving blood, Swartz said. Swartz dealt with the worst of COVID-19 for about 6 weeks. It persisted in other ways well beyond that. His COVID-19 symptoms totally went away around the Memorial Day weekend. The fact he continues to produce antibodies is a positive sign for Swartz. It means he doesn't have the disease. I'll find out how long antibodies last, he said. His wife Linda also had COVID-19. I was so sick I didn't realize until afterward that she had had it as bad as she did, Swartz said. Linda has recovered and returned to work. Normally, Swartz would be looking forward to the college football season. He is the longtime official statistician for Illinois football. But the Big Ten season has been postponed until at least the spring. Questions, comments, suggestions. Email Bob Asmussen at asmussen@newsgazette.com. Safer Illinois. UI's app presumes exposure by design. By Ben Zigterman. Urbana. Those who download the new Safer Illinois app may be alarmed when they are notified they have possibly been exposed to COVID-19. But that's by design, according to developer Bill Sullivan, based on the recommendations of the University of Illinois' testing and tracing team to presume everyone could be infected. They tell us that the most dangerous time for our community is when tens of thousands of people come into our community the next couple of weeks, Sullivan said. They argued strenuously that when people return to campus, they should be presumed to be infected. People with orange status aren't allowed into U of I buildings and are told to stay home until tested. Making this the default status was supported by campus leadership based on a rich conversation with experts across campus, Sullivan said. Our intent here is to be very conservative in an effort to protect the health of the larger community, he said. But he acknowledged it could cause alarm. We're updating the safer.illinois.edu website and really hope a lot of people read the News Gazette, Sullivan said. To get a yellow status, which allows entry into campus buildings, app users will need to get a negative test result. That should be easy for anyone affiliated with the U of I, since they have access to its saliva-based test, but isn't currently possible for people getting tested at places like Marketplace Mall or CVS. The app has a way to manually upload results, but that is currently disabled. It's still focused on people who are students and employees of the university, Sullivan said. We're working to build on this version in a fashion that allows the larger Champaign community to gain that functionality from the app, but we're not there yet. The app is a key part of the U of I's strategy for bringing back students for a mix of in-person and online classes and keeping COVID-19 under control, along with a mask requirement and twice-a-week saliva-based tests for people on campus. For the app to be effective, U of I physicist and COVID-19 modeler Nigel Goldenfeld has said that at least 60% of the campus community would need to use it. I'm very hopeful that the vast majority of the campus community will download the app, Sullivan said. Blue Star 2 Convenience Store, Owner, Manager, Accused of Sales Tax Evasion, by Mary Skank. Urbana, the owner of a West Champaign liquor and snack store, and one of his corporate managers have been criminally charged with not paying Illinois sales tax. Prakash Kumar Patel, 43, who listed an address in the 300 block of Prairie Crossing Drive in Mahomet, the owner of Blue Star 2 Convenience Store, 918 West Bradley Avenue, Champaign, and his corporate manager, Kirti Kumar Patel, 50, of the 3100 block of Sharp Drive, Champaign, both appeared Thursday afternoon before Judge Adam Dill. The judge read to them lengthy charges filed Tuesday in Champaign County Circuit Court by the Office of Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul, alleging theft of government funds exceeding $100,000 and sales tax evasion that happened between March 2013 and April 2018. Raoul's office alleges that the store collected the correct sales tax on purchases, but both men underreported sales tax numbers to the store's accountant. Raoul alleged that the men reported a higher number of low tax rate sales than the store actually made and underreported high tax rate sales and total receipts. The charges allege that the monthly sales tax returns filed by the store's accountant were fraudulent since they were based on the underreported income. In the meantime, the Patels allegedly pocketed the excess sales tax money, Raoul said. The charges are Class X and Class 1 felonies, respectively. Judge Jason Baum issued arrest warrants for both men Tuesday. They were each arrested, posted $1,000 cash for their release from jail, and were back in court Thursday for arraignment with their attorneys. The charge of theft of government funds is punishable by 6 to 30 years in prison upon conviction, while sales tax evasion carries penalties ranging from probation to 4 to 15 years in prison. Each count also carries a fine of up to $25,000. Prakash Kumar Patel, who serves as president of Karm Yogi, doing business as Blue Star 2, was also charged with two counts alleging that he had filed fraudulent Illinois business income tax returns for the 2016 and 2017 tax years. Each of those counts are Class 4 felonies, carrying a possible penalty ranging from probation to 1 to 3 years in prison. Akram Zanyad, the Chicago attorney representing Prakash Kumar Patel, said his client denies any wrongdoing outlined in the charges. This case is going away very quickly, he predicted, after the brief court appearance. Zanayed said he does not believe the Patels are related other than working together for the popular shop that features liquor, cigarettes, snacks, and T-shirts, among other merchandise. Kirti Kumar Patel is represented by Julio Telez, a Chicago attorney who said he knew little about the allegations, having just gotten into the case Thursday. Both Telez and Zanayed requested a probable cause hearing for their clients, which Dill set for September 1st. No attorneys from Raoul's office appeared on Thursday. The Patels were investigated by the Illinois Department of Revenue's Criminal Investigations Division. Unit 4 Superintendent Zola tells of new initiatives for remote learning. By Anthony Zelis. Champaign. When school starts this fall in the Champaign School District, classes will once again consist of online meetings and independent learning. That doesn't mean schools will suffer from all of the same shortfalls they did in the spring, Superintendent Susan Zola made clear Thursday. Students are going to access learning at their home in ways that they haven't before, she said. Zola announced in a press release last week that the district would spend at least the first 9 weeks of the year online, after releasing two plans in July that had some students learning in person. The board approved the newest plan this week, and Zola and her team have been working since to make sure all students have access to technology. So far, the district has coordinated free internet for at least one neighborhood, Shadowwood, off North Market Street in the city's northeast, along with hotspots and Wi-Fi access for other students in need. If you remember, a lot of our students didn't have Chromebooks until last March, and many of our students never had access to Wi-Fi, Zola said. We think we can mitigate some of those opportunities because they're going to have access to resources that we've never had, and once we can help support them and make them comfortable using those resources, we think we're actually going to be able to accelerate some of those places where there are some opportunity gaps. Unlike Urbana, which will provide space that includes the middle school gymnasium for students to participate in remote learning, the Champaign District won't open its buildings for students. But Zola did say that the district is setting up student support centers at three elementary schools, Garden Hills, Bottenfield, and Stratton. Families and students will be able to go to those schools to resolve any issues they have with remote learning. They're really a space for us to reconnect with families that may need more technical support, Zola said. Maybe Grandma is watching the second grader, while Mom and Dad are at work, and Grandma just needs some help logging into Google Classroom, how to log into Zoom, so Grandma can just call into a helpline. Set up a time to come visit the centers to get whatever assistance they might need. So we're going to try to connect with families in a really personal way, a thoughtful way. Teachers, meanwhile, will have a choice as to whether to teach from school or home, Zola said. Some support staff will be assigned other roles, she added, including working at the student support centers. In order to make sure they're picking up where students left off, Zola said the district created a pacing guide in order to show teachers where to start after 5 months without teaching new material. I would encourage the adults not to think about whether we're behind or what we've missed, but we're right where we need to be, Zola said. As a community, as a country, as a world, we've all experienced a lack of being able to connect with our educators since last March. So the pacing guide allows a teacher to go back and look and say, what would have happened in fourth quarter for this second grader who is now a third grader? Let's meet them where they're at. Champaign apartment search. Man charged with having 11 pounds of cannabis for sale. By Mary Skank. Urbana. A Champaign man who allegedly possessed more than 11 pounds of cannabis is being held in the Champaign County Jail in lieu of $750,000 bond. After arraigning 34-year-old Reginald Love on Thursday, Judge Adam Dill granted a state motion that requires him to show that his bond money is coming from a source other than drug sales if he wants out of jail. Love was charged Thursday with possession of cannabis and unlawful possession with intent to deliver more than 5,000 grams of cannabis, stemming from items found Wednesday by members of the Champaign County Street Crimes Task Force and the U.S. Marshals Service. If convicted, he faces 6 to 30 years in prison. Sergeant Dave Griffith of the task force said police had received a tip about 2 weeks ago about a green Dodge Charger driven by a person who had cannabis in the car. Griffin said on a few occasions when police tried to stop the car, it took off quickly, eluding officers. Police learned that the car was linked to Love, and on Wednesday, as officers watched, he got out of the green car at the Baytown Apartments in Northwest Champaign, carrying a large purple suitcase. Knowing that Love was wanted on outstanding warrants for driving under revocation, Marshals arrested him and found more than $16,000 cash on him. As they waited on a search warrant for a Baytown apartment where Love was staying, police were alerted by a pest control employee who had seen a purple suitcase that smelled of cannabis outside an apartment not far from the one police were waiting to search. Inside that suitcase, police found 11.5 pounds of cannabis, a scale, and cologne. Police also found a second suitcase in a dumpster in that area that had a luggage sticker on it, and inside, an airline ticket with Love's name and shrink wraps they think were used to package cannabis. Once they did the court-authorized search of the apartment where Love was staying, they found a money counter and another about 3 ounces of cannabis. Assistant State's Attorney Chris McCallum, who sought the source of bail, said Love had a prior drug conviction for manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance from 2009, for which he was sentenced to prison. His other convictions included aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, fleeing and eluding, aggravated battery, domestic battery, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of a handgun. Love's attorney, Steve Sarm of Champaign, objected to the request that Love should have to show that his bond money is coming from a legitimate source. From 2004 to now, he has matured and is no longer involved in insane behavior, Sarm said of Love, who he said is a rapper and a father of 2 young children with a 3rd on the way. He said his client has had a good record of showing up for court when required, and that he's charged with having a suitcase full of cannabis, a nonviolent offense. His car has been impounded. His money has been taken. Reginald Love is going to be present for court, Sarm said, requesting a reasonable bond. Danville Intersection. Witnesses sought in crash that killed motorcyclist. By Mary Skank. Danville. Police are seeking witnesses who might have seen a collision between a sedan and a motorcycle Sunday afternoon that led to the death of Sean Dye, 29, of Danville. Police said the crash happened near Williams and Fairweight Streets just after 5 p.m. According to a report, an 81-year-old Danville woman who was driving a 2013 Buick sedan south on Fairweight stopped at the stop sign at Williams, yielded to several vehicles going east and west on that street, then proceeded to cross the intersection. About that time, 2 motorcycles were going east on Williams at a high speed, police said. Mr. Dye's motorcycle hit the rear passenger side of the sedan. He was taken to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. The car driver and her passenger were not hurt. Anyone with information is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250, or if wishing to remain anonymous, Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477. Coronavirus pandemic. Jobless claims fall below 1 million, but layoffs stay high. Washington, AP. The number of Americans applying for unemployment dropped below 1 million last week for the first time since the coronavirus outbreak took hold in the U.S. 5 months ago, but layoffs are still running extraordinarily high. The figures show that the crisis continues to throw people out of work, just as the expiration of an extra $600 a week in federal jobless benefits has deepened the hardship for many and posed another threat to the U.S. economy. Applications for jobless benefits declined to 963,000, the second straight drop from 1.2 million the previous week, the government said Thursday. That signals layoffs are slowing, though the weekly figure still far exceeds the pre-outbreak record of just under 700,000 set in 1982. The virus is blamed for more than 166,000 deaths and 5.2 million confirmed infections in the U.S., easily the highest totals in the world. The average number of new cases per day is on the rise in 8 states, and deaths per day are climbing in 26, according to an AP analysis. Worldwide, the scourge has claimed more than 750,000 lives and caused over 20 million known infections. The virus, the shutdowns meant to fight it, and the reluctance or inability of many people to shop, travel, or eat out continue to undermine the economy and force companies to cut staff. Over the past few months, 23 states have paused or reversed their business reopenings because of a resurgence of the virus. Overall, fewer people are collecting unemployment, a sign that some employers are hiring. The total declined last week to 15.5 million from 16.1 million the previous week. Another larger-than-expected decline in jobless claims suggests that the jobs recovery is regaining some momentum. But much labor market progress remains to be done, said Lydia Boussure, senior economist at Oxford Economics. Hiring is thought to have slowed since the spring when states reopened and millions of workers at bars, restaurants, and stores were rehired. The job gain in August will probably fall short of the 1.8 million added in July, analysts say. For months, on top of their state benefit, unemployed Americans also got $600 a week in federal jobless aid. But that expired at the end of July, and negotiations in Congress to extend it, probably at a lower level, have collapsed in rancor. Last week, President Donald Trump issued an executive order that would provide $300 a week. But experts say it could take weeks for the states to reprogram their computers and process and dispense the payments. A crush of applications earlier in the outbreak resulted in huge backlogs that left millions of the unemployed waiting. Washington State went so far as to call in the National Guard to help process applications. Some economists say they think the end of the $600 supplement has contributed to the drop in unemployment claims of late, because some of those who are unemployed may feel less incentive to apply. The supplemental federal aid had enabled many jobless Americans to afford rent, food, and utilities, and its expiration threatens to weaken consumer spending. Michelle Meyer, an economist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch, said the loss of the additional aid will reduce Americans' incomes by $18 billion a week. That's a big hit to purchasing power, she said. In addition to people who applied last week for state benefits, nearly 489,000 others sought jobless aid under a new federal program that has made self-employed and gig workers eligible for the first time. That figure isn't adjusted for seasonal trends, so it is reported separately. Counting those receiving aid under the new program would bring to 28.2 million, roughly 18% of the U.S. workforce, the number of Americans now receiving some form of unemployment benefits. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Friday, August 14th, 2020. Please stay tuned.